Let's rock and roll. How's everybody doing today? Doing good? So what was your favorite Little Debbie cake? Was it Swiss cake rolls? Was it oatmeal? The oatmeal cakes? The oatmeal. Those were amazing. Ding dongs were Little Debbie cakes. Come on, people. That was Hostess. I remember the day Hostess came out and said they were going to quit making ding-dongs, ho-hos, and Twinkies. I heard on the radio, I'm driving down First Avenue in Rock Falls. I pulled into Shriners Mobile, went in and bought one of each. Spent the rest of the day throwing my blood sugar through the roof. And I was a bad boy. All right, so today, which doesn't surprise you, we are finishing up our series on making your life strong. Finally, do you feel stronger now? All the things that we've learned. Now, if you missed some of these 10, you can go back online and watch them. Here's a quick recap of the things you need to be a strong, capable, mature believer in Jesus. First of all, was sharing your faith right out of the gate. I almost switched that later because it was right after Friend Day, right after Easter and Friend Day, and there were a lot of new people came back, and I thought, man, what am I going to, you know, right out of the gate, talk to them about sharing their faith. And I thought, wait a minute, that's the best thing to teach a new believer, is how to share your faith. What happened to you, you need to go out and tell others. Then we talked about hungering for God's word, following the Holy Spirit, praising and worshiping God, which is what we just did a moment ago, talking to God in prayer. We talked about humility and holiness and everybody's favorite, giving. That was a fan favorite. And then we followed up, and this one, people went wild. Submission and authority. Boy, everybody's just on board with that one. Our flesh loves it. Wrong. Our flesh hates it. Submission and authority. If you weren't here last week, you're in rebellion, so you need to go back and watch that one. Wow. Tough crowd today. And number 10, we're going to talk about godly respect and awe of God. We're going to talk about the fear of God. You don't hear a lot of messages on that anymore. It's just not popular in our 21st century world. We'd rather talk about other things. But if we lack the fear of God in our life, and we're going to define what that means. First of all, the fear of God does not mean you're scared of him. You're afraid. I'm afraid of God. That's not the fear of the Lord. Nothing could be farther from the truth. But if we lack the fear of the Lord and mishandle or disrespect his presence and power, we will experience negative consequences. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason this is so important is because the church world is in a transitionary period right now. There's a lot of change going on in the church. There's a lot of change going on. There's transitions going on in our church and the way we're doing some things and what have you. It's not changing what we believe, but maybe the way we do things and the way we look at things and what have you. But the thing is if we don't have this down, it's going to hinder us. Godly respect and awe. We're planning on having, you know, Terry and I are leaving this afternoon. Right after church, we're off to Chicago. So, and we're going on our mountaintop where we're going to seek God for the coming year of 2020. So after service, I won't be out in the lobby kissing babies and shaking hands and stuff, okay? We have to leave, like, pronto. So we ask that you pray for us this week because this is our mountaintop when we really seek God about the coming year. And I'm focusing on just three or four things, just a couple things. Usually I go over the whole big parameter of things. Terry's kind of doing that. I'm focusing on a couple things. And one of them is a revival we're going to be having the end of October. And it's with a revivalist. I'm not going to tell you his name yet. But Kevin and Annie Durant, when they were here a few weeks back, talked to us about that. He said, where are you at as a church? And I said, well, I really feel we've made huge strides as a church in so many ways, which we have over the last 10 years, over the last 2 years. We've come so far as a church. But I said, and the gifts of the Spirit move, and we see some great things, but I said, I want to see more of that. I want to see the glory of God in just a real way and in a powerful way, and his presence in a real and a powerful way. And it's something I just hunger for. And he said, I have a gentleman that maybe can come help you kickstart that. Y'all know what a Kickstart campaign is online? Kickstart is where somebody, it's kind of like a GoFundMe page. And they're going to start a business and they do a Kickstart campaign and people can give to it. There's the restaurant up in Byron, the one right by the river where my daughter works now. And I can't think of Sledgehammers? That's not it. Hairy Cow. How could I forget that? I went to a restaurant called the Hairy Cow. But they got started there. They've got a lot of good food in there, but they had a Kickstart campaign, and people gave to it to help get the business started, and people do that. Well, a Kickstart for us, we're not trying to start a business. We're wanting to see God move in a greater way. And this gentleman, he went to Rhema with me. I did not know him when I was at Rhema. He was a year ahead of me. I think we're the same age. We've talked on the phone, and we really clicked. And it's going to be the last week in October, and it's going to go Sunday to Sunday. And if things are moving, if things are clicking, we'll go for another week. And if things keep moving and clicking, we'll go for... He goes to some churches and he's there for 5 weeks. As God moves and people get saved and healed and filled and blessed and helped and delivered. And the Spirit of God moves in miraculous ways. So that's something I'm really focusing on and praying about. And I would ask that you would pray and focus on as well. As far as your heart, as for having a godly respect and awe of God. Many of us are confused about what the fear of the Lord is. 2 Timothy 1:7, we always apply this to, we think of fear, we say, well, God's not giving me a spirit of fear. And that's true. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. You should not fear things in life. You should not fear the devil. You should not fear what man can do to you. You should not fear what others can do to you or whatever the situation might be. We shouldn't be walking around fearful. I meet so many Christians that are just, they walk in fear. And many times it's because of their past. And they allow the past to drag them down like a weight to the bottom of the river. Let me tell you something. Whenever the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Okay? Remember that. The fear of the Lord is biblical and foundational to the Christian faith. So what is, the question we're going to ask today is, what is the fear of the Lord? First, consider the difference between fear and respect, as in these examples, making the wrong choice. You know, if you make the wrong choice, life has consequences. If you make a wrong choice, if you're a young girl and you have sex before marriage and things happen, guess what? You could get pregnant. Life has consequences. You made a wrong choice. If you break the law or violate the law, the rules, you'll suffer the side effect or consequences. Does this mean you should be afraid of rules and laws? No. But what does it mean? It means that you should respect and obey them. Another example, your employer. You love your boss. Yeah, okay. Well, Jesus said love your enemies. He's not my enemy. Well, then you should love him. If he's your friend, you should love him. But if you disrespect and fail to submit, that's the attitude of your heart, to your employer, there will be consequences. Does that mean you should be afraid of your employer? Of course not. You shouldn't be afraid of your employer. It simply means you should respect and submit to his or her authority. Same as with the police. Should we fear the police? No, we shouldn't fear them. But if you disobey the law, if you go too fast and you get pulled over, you shouldn't have this attitude, oh man, why aren't you looking for drug dealers? Because you're going 65 and a 50. That's why. Now get your license, your insurance, and your registration, and put your hands on the steering wheel and be nice. It simply means you should honor, respect their authority. Mishandling electricity. If you mishandle electricity, you could suffer the consequences. From something as innocuous as my grandma Waite and my mom always telling me about my Uncle Jerry, my mom's younger brother, sticking a nickel in an outlet. And back in the 40s or something, or early 50s, and threw him across the room. Does that still happen? Any electricians? Electrician, right here. If you stick something in there, you're still going to... We don't have some kind of super safety thing that saved us from that now, right? Okay, so kids don't, and adults, don't stick a dime, a quarter, a penny or something in the outlet, the plug, all right? You're going to get hurt. Okay, that'll just shock you some, you know. But if you handle electricity correctly, yay! You like electricity? I see people all the time, my electricity went off. What is wrong with those people? People in Rock Falls go ape. They're always mad at their electric company. And then every place else, it's ComEd. Eh, they go crazy. So when the electricity isn't on, you're not a happy camper, are you? But if you mishandle electricity, if you don't have a healthy respect for it and handle it properly, you could suffer very serious consequences. It could cost you your life, mishandling electricity. So, if you handle God's glory respectfully, if you handle God's power with awe and respect, it'll bring great blessing to your life, just like electricity does. But if you mishandle it, it can bring negative consequences. The fear of the Lord does not mean to be afraid of God. Number one, fill in the blank. The fear of the Lord means to have a deep reverence, respect, awe, and healthy fear of who he is. It says we're to have reverence for him, a deep reverence. Reverence means high esteem, high regard, deep respect for God. It's a wholesome dread of displeasing your heavenly Father. I don't want to disappoint him. I told a story recently about in sixth grade. I knew what the rule was at Montmorency. You do not throw snowballs in the playground. That was the rule. You do not throw snowballs in the playground. Well, me and Valdi and my friend Roger threw snowballs at Mike Bass when he was going to get the football. We threw snowballs towards him. I won't tell how we got caught, what have you, but we got sent to the principal's office. They were lined up halfway down the hallway of Montmorency, and we're in the back of the line. We're the last ones in line. And we walk in, and Mr. Gins, my principal, Glenn Gins, who was principal at Montmorency for almost 30 years, looked at Valdi, looked at Roger, he looked at me, he looked me right in the eye, and he said, I never thought I'd see you in here. It's like he shot me. He snapped me like a pencil. I bent and he whacked me, but you know what? I don't hardly even remember that. All I remember was I disappointed Mr. Gins. He was like one of my heroes, and I disappointed him, and that just, it just destroyed me. That's how it is with God. It's a wholesome dread of, you don't want to displease God. You want to honor God with your life, with your words, with your actions, don't you? Yeah. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you have a wholesome respect for God, a deep reverence, and high regard, that's the beginning of wisdom. Number two, the starting point of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The starting point of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Your attitude towards God, his power, the supernatural work of his Holy Spirit will determine what the Holy Spirit produces in your life. You need a respect for his word. Going back to class two in this series was on respecting the word, having a hunger for the word. Let me tell you, folks, if all you're about is praise and worship music, your life's going to be shallow. I'm thankful for praise and worship music. I love it. I love to praise and worship God. But if that's as deep as your relationship goes, is just worship, you're missing it. If your life in Christ, if your Christian life is not deeply rooted in the Word of God, your roots are so shallow. And when the winds of life come, you're going to get blown over like a little tree. It's going to snap and you're going to fall over. Okay? We're seeing this in the Christian world today. Some Christian singers, entertainers refuting their faith and falling back. Why? Because they're all just about an emotion and they weren't about building their worldview. They're about building their faith rooted in God's Word, the Bible. That's why it's so important to be discipled, to get into our growth track. If you've been received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now you need to get baptized in water. If you've been baptized in water, you need to get in the seven basics. If you've taken seven basics, you need to get getting a grip on the basics. And then you need to go into getting grip on the basics of serving and giving and et cetera, et cetera. You need to get your roots sunk down deep in God's Word because it's not just about getting God bumps and goosebumps and the thrill up your leg. That's not going to get you through in life, folks. What's going to get you through in life is a constant, careful, reverent, diligent, prayerful study of God's word and believing it and getting deep in faith. Amen? First century believers learned to have a healthy, reverential fear of the Lord very early. Acts 2:42, it's our basis scripture. It says, and they, the disciples, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that was the word, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Let's stop right there. Fellowship and breaking of bread. My wife just announced earlier, Saturday night, Aaron Cruzan did announcements, and she announced it about the Dream Team Night. If you are a member of this church, whether you're serving, if you're a member of this church and you're not serving, you need to be at Dream Team Night. Or if you're interested, you need to be at Dream Team Night. Why? Because we get together and we fellowship, we break bread. What are we eating this time? Last time we had Mexican food, and it was amazing. Do we know what we're having? Potluck? All right. Pot bless. All right. So we're going to have potluck. You know church people make good food. So we're going to eat, and then we play games, and it's fun. Last time we did this thing, we learned this down in, was it Mississippi? Was it? And we went to this conference, and they put hula hoops on the floor, and you have two lines of people, and they run into hula hoops until you meet somebody that comes from the other side, and you start playing rock, paper, scissors. And whoever wins, whoever's out's out, and the next person gets to start hopping across, and then the next person comes up, and you do rock, paper, scissors until you get to the other end, and it just gets crazy, and it's just wild. And it was fun. I mean, we played that game, and we had so much fun. People were flying all over the place and just had a blast. And that, we do stuff like that. We're going to have some other crazy games. Last time we did it, we had people up here. They put shaving cream in their heads, and people behind them, I was throwing it at my wife. You get to throw cheese balls at your wife. Now, I mean, what other church does this? They're not doing this at the Catholic Church. I got news for you. But I'm standing behind, and you're trying to throw the cheese balls and get it caught in the shaving cream on her head. I think Ricky and Delaney won, I think. They're so competitive. But I couldn't. I was throwing one and throwing one in my mouth. I was going, you don't get orange teeth that way. But we get together and we fellowship and we break bread. And then it says, and then they prayed. We're going to have worship. We're going to have prayer for our church. And then it says, and fear came upon every soul. Why? Because signs and wonders were done. People were like, wow, we're having this fun. And then God moved. And fear came upon him. What does that mean? But fear in the sense of, wow, God is awesome. And that respect was there. This fear came upon every soul and was a reverential fear for the power of God. They respected what he was doing amongst them. That's why during communion, it says that we should have a deep respect. I read that scripture and we talk about that. The only time you'll ever see Pastor Scott scowl at you, and this has happened maybe two times in 33 years. Remember, one time was at the first building, second time was at the second building. I don't think I've done it here yet. But I saw people getting the bread and the cup, and they're kind of going, they're looking down the aisle and playing, you know, ha-ha, funny with the bread and the cup, and I just looked at them. Now, everybody knows nobody likes to laugh more than me, but guess what? Communion is not happy ha-ha time. It is reverential fear of God time. The Bible says that some people took of the cup and the bread in an unworthy manner, and because of that, they slept. That means they died. We'll get into more of that in a minute, okay? But you all doing okay? And it says here in verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. What happened here? They started selling what they had. A great generosity swept over the church. Why? Think about this. Day of Pentecost, there's the 11 disciples, because, you know, Judas took his life. There's the 11 disciples. You got the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and then the rest of them, the 11. And then you had the 70, and then you had about a couple more, and they were in the upper room, 120 upper room. The Spirit of God falls, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they come out into the streets, and Peter, who just 50 days prior is denying knowing Christ and in the dark of night to a little kid, saying, I don't know him, blankety blank, I don't know him. And now here he is in broad daylight preaching Jesus at risk of his own life because the Spirit of God came upon him and gave him boldness. and 3,000 people get saved. Okay? 120 in the upper room, the average size of a local church. Okay? How many think we have in here right now, Terry? Ballpark. For the weekend, we'll have 350 or so, huh? About 160. So say we're here right now, we got about 160 sitting here right now, and say next week 3,000 show up. What would happen? Well, first of all, Cynthia Messina and Dave Justice and my wife would be going, ah! And I'd be going, ah! Why? Because we're going to park them. We'll park them in the field. No, there's beans out in the field. Okay, we get to move our workers down to Challen and we'll bus and we'll, but there's 3,000 people show up and they're not carpooling. And guess what? What are we going to do for seats? We can get 501 in here, maybe a smidge more, but we don't have that. We can get so many seats in here. 501, we're going to have six services. So the pastor's preaching six times and you guys are singing six times. Six services. Because 3,000 people showed up. And guess what? They're not from here. They showed up for the big boat race downtown. And they heard God was moving and they showed up at the church and got saved. So we got 3,000 people from Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, and, you know, Missouri. And a few from Minnesota. We let them in. And they're here and they don't have any place to stay. We don't have that many hotel rooms. Sterling doesn't even have a hotel. What are we going to do? Send them to Rock Falls and Dixon. But they got to come back here. But guess what? They don't have any money. They've run out of money. They've maxed out their credit card. They need money to eat. They need a place to stay. So what did the church do? They took them into their houses. They sold land. Doesn't necessarily mean they sold their own house, because where are they going to live? Maybe they had other lands and properties, and they sold it, and they brought it to the apostles, they brought it to the church, and they dumped the money down. They liquidated assets to help their brothers and sisters. Verse 33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. These are the guys who were there and saw it, and they're telling these 3,000 new believers of what happened, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And so they met the needs of the people. Now, did they do this for time and eternity? No. But this was the generosity which came upon the church, the early church, because of their great awe and respect for God, because they knew that as they gave, it'd be given back to them. You can't outgive God, and you'd be blessed. There was a cycle of generosity that took place, and it was followed by supernatural signs and wonders, and it continued to build. Verse 36 and 37, we read something amazing happened. And Joses, I love this. Oh, this story. Who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. We'll find out in a minute why they called him that, which is interpreted as son of consolation. We would say son of encouragement. A Levite. And of the country of Cyprus. He's not even a Jew. Having land, he had land, he sold it. And brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So this guy, Joses, he's got a nickname, Barnabas. I gave this illustration last night on you, Sean, so I'll tell it again today. You know how we give people nicknames? Sean's had many nicknames over the years, but I'm going to tell the one when we went to Margot's Rib Palace. Anybody remember Margot's Rib Palace? Yeah! I love Margot's Rib Palace. And Margot, was it Margot? Was it Samples? Is that her last name? What was Margot's last name? Was that it? Boom. But we go to Margot, it was on First Avenue in Rock Falls. And Sean had just, I don't know, did you get a job or something? Your first job? And he had a checkbook. He had his checkbook for the first time. He had checks. And back then, you know, some places didn't take checks because of people who wrote rubber checks. So they weren't taking checks. So now that's happening again today. This is back early 80s. And Sean's taking me out for lunch, and he had called and asked, do you take checks? And she said, yes. So we get there, and she comes to order me and says, sir, what would you like? And I said, I'd like ribs and this and that and coleslaw and bop, bop, bop. And she looked at him, and she says, how about you, checkbook? I I almost fell out of my seat. So from then I go, hey, checkbook, how you doing, checkbook? You know, we do that. We give people nicknames. My dad, when we go to Virginia, nobody had a name in Virginia. There was Hump and Joe and Lumpy and Screwy and Junior. I mean, like, nobody had a name. What was his name? My dad go, I don't know. He's your cousin. You don't know his name? You know, some of them he did. But here they give this guy a nickname, Josies, and it was son of encouragement. Why? Because they were so encouraged by his giving. His offering generated so much excitement in the church. His offering generated so much enthusiasm in the church that it said, man, this guy is such an encouragement to us, we're going to call him that. Checkbook. They could have called him that too, I guess. But he brought cash. Okay, he sold the land. He didn't use a check. But they were so encouraged. It reminds me back when we were going to pay this land off. We bought this land for like $400,000. Was it $400,000? Something like $360,000. Thank you, Ms. Stickler. I was rounding up. But it was $360,000. And we paid it down until the last year we needed still a chunk of change. I think it was $180,000. We paid off half of it. And the Spirit of God spoke to me on the mountaintop. Mountaintop's important. It's what we're going on. He said, I want you to pay it off in the next year. And I'm doing the math in my head. We had paid $60,000 one year, $60,000 the next year, $60,000 the other year. People made pledges. And that was $180,000. So out of $360,000, we still owed $180,000. And I'm doing the math in my head. I'm literally on a mountaintop, Stony Man Mountain in Shenandoah National Park in Virginia. And I said, here's what I've learned to do. Even though doubt was in my mind, because I'm going, we've done $180,000 in 3 years, and you want us to do $180,000 in 1 year? I'm doing the math, and I'm thinking, this don't sound plausible. But out of my mouth said, yes, sir, we'll do that. Did I just say that? Yeah. Yes, sir, we'll do that. And God, we got together and God gave us a plan and we started working it. I remember that we got down and we still needed a chunk, like $60,000 or something. It was the last Sunday to be that 1 year. And we received the offering and they went and counted, they brought it back, and we were, was it 30,000 short? So we'd gone from 180 to 30, 150,000 in 1 year. And man, we were rejoicing, praising God. We said with the pledges, we'll still have this paid off in about 4 or 5 months. It'll pay the property off, not the building, the property. And we were so excited. We're praising God and everything. And at the moment, just before we closed, I said, now we're going to be dismissed unless somebody's got $30,000. I just said it half jokingly, but it just came up out of my mouth. And at that moment, I didn't know it at the time, a husband and wife sitting 3/4 of the way up turned and looked at each other. And the wife looked at the husband and said, did you hear that? And the husband said, hear what? She said, we're supposed to give that $30,000. He goes, I heard that. The Spirit of God spoke to them both at the same time. They came out to me in the lobby of the Coliseum, and on the way out, they shook my hand, and they said, we'll take care of that $30,000. I said, are you serious? Because I don't want to guilt anybody in anything or twist anybody's arm in anything. I've always said, you talk to God about what he'll have you to do and just obey him. Okay? You just talk to God about what you do. Okay? That's all I'm about with money. You just obey God. And I said, are you sure? And they said, yep. God spoke to both of us. Same time. Boom. So we let them leave, and then I turned to the rest of the congregation as they're come out and said, we just got the $30,000 lands paid off. And the place just went ape. And they were encouraged. That's what happened when people give generously. People get excited. $10,000 left on the sign. Number three. They don't call me Rico Suave for nothing. Was that subtle? Number three. Undoubtedly, many people in the church witnessed this huge sacrificial gift made by Barnabas. Undoubtedly, they saw it. They witnessed how the other believers celebrated. They were excited for Josie's, for Barnabas. Among the onlookers were a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. Very famous couple. After observing the appreciation expressed to Barnabas, they started cooking up a plan, and it wasn't a good plan. It was a plan that was going to say, look at me and what I did. We're going to learn a powerful lesson right now from the life of Ananias and Sapphira. Verse 1, Acts 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now guess what? They're selling a piece of property, which we'll find out in a minute. Here it said they sold a possession. We'll see in a minute it's land, just like Barnabas did. But it's their land. They can do whatever they want with it. They can sell a piece of property and they can give it they want or they can't give it they don't want. But it's what they did with it. They can sell, say they sold the land for $50,000 and they gave $30,000 of it to the church. Wow, praise. Am I going to say, no, you didn't give 50? No, I'm going to say, thank you. Praise God. Let's believe God, your needs will be met. What they do, if they gave $5,000, if they gave $10,000, that's between them and God. That's not about me. But here's what they did. They came in and they plotted and said, hey, we sold this land for $10,000 when they sold it for $50,000, and here's the proceeds. They lied. Verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? The word lie here means to deceive, to willfully falsify, or to misrepresent the facts. So that shows us that there was some chicanery going on here. Okay? Ananias' actions were a willful misrepresentation of the truth. And that's what Peter rebuked them for. It wasn't like, man, you didn't give it all. You're supposed to give it all like Barnabas did. That wasn't the point. The point was you said you were giving it all and you didn't. You did that just to look big. Verse 4, Peter further said, while it remains, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? You do what you want with your money. Why have you conceived this thing in thine heart? This is a plot. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Conceive means to set something in place, set in motion, and position to conceive a plan. The word thing here would be better translated as an action, an affair, a well-conceived deed, a plot. And these two words confirm that Ananias and Sapphira had a premeditated strategy that they were working out. Notice what Peter said. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Then the next verse, thou hast not lied to men, but to God. You're not lying to us. You're lying to God by what you've done here. These two statements together reveal a powerful truth to the early church. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, same guy, is not just a fragmented representation of God. He's just here and he's here and he's here and he's just scattered all over. No, he is God. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as the Father and Jesus. And he is God in the church today. How you treat the Holy Spirit is how you treat God. Verse 5 reveals a very powerful lesson. And Ananias, hearing these words, you've lied to the Holy Ghost, he fell down and gave up the ghost. He died right there in front of God and everybody. He gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Right before their eyes, Ananias drops dead in the church. It's recorded for those believers and for every generation of believer afterwards, including us, that what can happen when you mishandle the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Ananias died, and great fear came on the people, and they saw it, and they told about it. They got spread. Now, the word great here, great fear, great here is the word mega. We use that a lot now, don't we? Mega. And it describes something enormous, all-consuming. The word fear is the word phobos, where we get the word phobia, and it describes terror, alarm, etc. So great fear, great phobos came upon the church, and it was from an alarming situation. Verse 6 through 9 says, then the young men arose, wound him up, tied him up in burial clothes, carried him out and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, Sapphira, not knowing what was done, so she didn't even know her husband's dead. She's probably out spending the rest of the money that they kept. She comes in, and Peter answered and said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. He's giving her a chance to tell the truth. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which is buried your husband are at the door, and they're going to carry you out too. Boom. And she dropped out. They picked her up, they carried her out, buried her next to her husband. That was a quick funeral. Okay? It says that in verse 10, 11. Straightway she fell down, yielded up the ghost. Young men came and buried her with her husband. Okay. It says once again that great fear came upon the church. Mega phobos came upon the church. What's this tell us? The Holy Spirit who is working inside the church is God. And we need to respect him and treat him properly. Same holds true for us today, folks. The power of the Holy Spirit brings life-giving blessing, and when respected and handled correctly, he will move. That is what we're talking about with these meetings coming up this fall. I want us to prepare our heart. This isn't a circus or a sideshow to come and be entertained at. It's a time we're going to come together night after night after night and see momentum build, we're believing for, and for people to be healed, and not just in our church, but for people from outside of our church to come. I want the biggest heathens in Sterling, Dixon, Rock Falls, Morrison, Milledgeville here. I want gangbangers and drunks and drug addicts and drug dealers. I want them to come and see that the life they're living is crap. I want them to see that God has better for them. I put that on Facebook this week. I got so much response from it. What was it I put? I put, Jesus has a better way. That just rose up in my heart. Jesus has a better way. I see so many people out in life just flipping around and flopping around and bouncing from this to that, from this relationship to that relationship. And they try God for a while, and they get tired of that, and they go over here and they do this. And then they drop out of church, and their life will become a shambles again. And then they come crawling back in, and guess what? We love them and help restore them again. But I pray for the day when we get it. When we get it. And we hold on, and we start building our life on the word and not just some emotional feeling. Amen. The fear of the Lord is an empowering grace that is developed in us by the Spirit of God himself as we abide in that relationship. The Bible is filled with countless promises. We're going to close with this real quick. I'm going to do just one of these. Proverbs 10:27, the second one, please, Denise. Proverbs 10:27 says this, the fear of God expands your life, a wicked life is a puny life. I love that. My dad, when I was a little boy, my dad is hardly ever sick. When he gets sick, it's like the world's caving in because he doesn't get sick. You know? And when I was a little boy, sometimes, well, mom would say, I go, where's dad at? Well, he's just not feeling good. I say, Dad, you all right? He go, I just got the punies. That's what he'd say. I just got the punies. And that just meant he just wasn't feeling good. But you know what? If you're fearing God, if you're walking in reverence and awe and respect for him, it will expand your life in so many ways. Spiritually, you will expand. You will grow in a deep-rooted relationship with God and his word. You will grow mentally, soulishly, mind, will, and emotions. You will grow there as well. And you will grow physically. Okay? Strengthened and healed. You will prosper. You will be blessed. Because what is prosperity? Does that mean God's called everybody to be a millionaire? No way. No. It means that you'll have all your needs met and overabundant supplies so you can be a blessing to others. That's prosperity. It'll expand your life. But you know what? If you're going to go back to your old ways, the Bible says it's like a dog going back to its vomit. It's in the book. Did you know that? It's in the Bible. There's some gross stuff in the Bible. I don't have to make it up. It's in there. But a man who has served God and goes back to his old life is like a dog returning to its vomit. You ever see a dog do that? You're like, what are you doing, Fido? You're like, oh my gosh, it's gross. I see the same thing when I see a person who's in church serving God with their family, and the next thing you do, they've fallen off, they've started a business, and now they're all about their business. They've started this, and they're chasing after this new hobby, and God is put on the back burner, and I watch their life fall apart, I watch their marriage fall apart, I watch their family fall apart, because they've lost their first love. I've seen it time and time again over 33 years. And then I'll run into them, and they'll go, "Oh, hi, Pastor Scott." And they're just crawling, thinking, "My God, God's got better for you." Amen. Don't have a puny life. I want to see your life expand for God as you serve Him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for loving us, for speaking to us, for sharing with us. Strengthen us, Father. Help us to learn and grow in our awe and reverential fear of You, our God. We love You so much. Thank You for loving us and helping us. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to speak to you here and those watching online. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and today you would like to do so, you'd like to pray and receive Him, ask Him into your heart to forgive you of your sins, I want you to pray with me. Or if you want to rededicate your life, you received Jesus at one time, but you've been out squirreling around. Maybe you've been that dog. We won't go any farther there. But you're wanting to come home. You're wanting to get your life right with God. You pray with me too. So let's all lift our voices together in prayer. Believers here at Abiding Word, let's agree together. Those watching online, you pray with us right too. Looking on your phone, on your computer, on your iPad, whatever, on your TV. Some of you watch on TV. You pray with us right now, right out loud, all of us together. Let's lift our voices. Say, "Dear God in heaven, I thank You for Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe He rose from the grave, and He's alive today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I want to live for You, who died for me. And from this day forward, regardless of what comes, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ all the days of my life. I love You, Lord. Thank You for loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Go ahead.
Amen. If anybody is here today, as you look up, anybody here today, the right side of your body, specifically right now, it could be other parts, but like a muscular weakness, like a some kind of problem with your muscles and difficulty. Is anybody here that is you? Specifically muscular, like... It's kind of scary for me to call this out because I put in it on the line, but I'm just be obedient, like an MS situation, like that kind of muscular problem. Anybody? I can totally not get it. You? Oh, you. Okay. All right. I'll pray for you, Pastor Scott. This side? Amen. Well, Father God, I just pray right now in Jesus' name and just believe for Your healing power to manifest itself in this body, all muscular weakness be gone. Believe for complete and total restoration, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank You, Father. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's 1 second. yeah, that's it. No, I am sorry. I'm just trying to get myself together here for a second. Can we just bow our head and pray just for a second? Amen. Just rest in God's presence just for a minute. Thank You, Jesus. One other thing before we just finish up our service. Anybody today that you have really been dealing with depression, a depression that you can't seem to get yourself out of, that you're really just stuck in, just kind of like your feet are stuck in mud or you're sinking in the quicksand, a depression that has just kind of come over you. You've tried different and various things to kind of shake it off, you know, tell yourself it's okay, but you just feel yourself keep dragged back into that situation. If that's you, just I don't want you to come up, just raise your hand. And I just want to pray for you. Anybody with depression, dealing with just like a severe type of depression? Anybody? Yeah, okay. And was there somebody over here? Raise your hand. All right. Actually, I'm going to go out for a second and just lay hands so I saw this person. Mm-hmm.
Praise God. It's important to listen and obey the Spirit of God in situations, you know, and not get in a big rush. Because the Spirit of God wants to minister to people, that's important. Because sometimes it might be exactly what your need is. And what that is, matter of fact, Friday we were doing our video. Terry and I, we do a video in the afternoon. Try to hit around noon. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But she had a word of knowledge. That's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge is things of present and past. She had a word of knowledge for somebody watching online concerning, I forget what it was exactly. But that's what this is, what she had praying for my wrist. I've been having, you know, muscular problems in my left wrist and my hand. And just feel the power of God working in it. It's loosening up already. That's a word of knowledge. Okay? That's a word of knowledge. This is a word of knowledge. So she's ministering there. See, the Spirit of God knows what our situations are. Word of knowledge is that. Prophecy is a divine utterance in a known language. Word of wisdom is about things concerning the future. Now, word of wisdom will not be revelation. It will be confirmation. Case in point, say, Pastor Nathan here, say God's been speaking to his heart, go to Africa. For 10 years, God's been telling him, Africa, you're supposed to prepare, go to Africa. And Nathan's like, I don't want to go to Africa. Pastor Nathan's like, I'm not doing, I want to play the drums and pastor the youth, you know, and what have you. He isn't talking about Africa, though, is he? Okay, good. I want to keep you here. But see, he had been speaking to Nathan about that, Pastor Nathan about that. And then an evangelist comes in, or Pastor Terry and I, turns and looks at him and says, God's saying Africa. And that's all he does. He says that. And then Pastor Nathan's like, oh my gosh, you know, God's been speaking to me for this for 10 years. I'm supposed to obey him and do this. But you know what? Here's what happens too often with ministers and different people. Brother Hagin used to say this, president of the Bible school I went to. He used to say, I'm human, I can miss it. Whenever he had a word, he would say, Does that bear witness with your spirit? Every time I ever saw him do it, that bear witness with your spirit. I never saw anybody go, no. But you know what? If a minister would have come in here, or myself, or my wife, or anybody, would go up to Pastor Nathan, and God hasn't been saying anything about Africa to you, right? And he just comes over and says, you're supposed to sell everything you own and go to Africa. And people do this. And what happens? Then people go sell everything they own, they go to Africa, and what happens? They fall flat in their face. Why? Because God never told them to go to Africa. Some evangelist guy did. See what I'm saying? So when God will speak, it should be confirming what God's already been speaking to you about. See that? It's not revelation. Oh, I never thought of Africa in my life. No. Confirmation, not revelation.
Amen. Praise God. You know, today, if you are a regular member and attender with us, you will have your connection card. Fill that out. If there's anything you need to communicate to the office, please do that. As a guest, don't forget to bring that out. And then today, if you made a decision when Pastor Scott was praying, whether you're online, you can fill out the form online or just our contact form and tell us that you asked Jesus in your heart. But if you did that here with us, we want to partner with you on this amazing journey called Jesus. And Jesus will bring you life and life more abundantly. So mark that on there that you asked Jesus in your heart or you rededicated your life. Bring that out to guest services today. And then we're going to get to receive our offering. And I'm excited today that Pastor Scott was talking about generosity. Amen. And so we have the opportunity to be generous to our God and respect and put our awe on him today. Amen. So go ahead if you have your offering in your hand. If you've given online, just believe God for that seed that we're praying for right now. And let's speak to that in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you right now that we give generously to you. Not to man, not to a church, not to religion, but to you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father God, we just thank you that, Father, we abundantly, Father God, out of a good heart, sow our seed and believe for that seed to be returned to us, Father, so that we have more to be able to be generous in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, amen. You can receive our offering. All right. Let me remind you of a couple things. Hey, if you have 6th to 12th graders, I'm challenging you to get them here for Velocity. It is an amazing, crazy time. They play games. They have a new snack bar set up.
They got nachos and cheese.
I know, they got nachos and cheese. And Pastor Nathan is bringing the word, man. The anointing of God is on him to preach to your youth. And they have their praise and worship, and it's just a rocking place. They got a band. It's happening. It's amazing. And so it brings a lot of life to our weekend, weekday services, is to just have them in the house worshiping God
and
all the teenagers.
And third through fifth graders, you need to get your third through fifth graders signed up for Quest. I'm just telling you.
Yes.
Quest Kids.
Go
out to guest services.
All right. Blood drive happening August 27th. We're not just asking for your money. We're asking for your blood at this church. That's 4 to 7 on August 27th. You can sign up out at guest services. And then Pastor Scott was talking about worshiping God, and we are really excited that back to church weekend, we're going to kick it all off at the end of that Sunday night with a worship night. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a great weekend to be in the house. So we're so excited about everything that God has, and we're excited to be able to look forward to next weekend. We're going to be back
on
fire.
We'll be back. We've got to leave like 11:30. We got to be driving.
We got to leave. All right.
All right. We love you guys. We'll see you next weekend. You're dismissed. God bless you.